Well, last year, National Geographic magazine created Geography Awareness Week to help young Americans better understand geospatial issues and recognize their roles as global citizens. Michigan State plays the lead role in Geo Week in mid-Michigan with a variety of public opportunities designed to create awareness about geography, both as a discipline and as a part of everyday life. Current State also is presenting several discussions here on WKAR related to geographic awareness in a week-long series. Today, Canadian native and former U.S. Space Shuttle astronaut Roberta Bondar lends her high-flying perspective to Geo Week. She flew aboard the Shuttle Discovery in 1992 as Canada's first female astronaut. Among her many other accomplishments, Bondar is also a prolific photographer and the author of 4 photo essay books. Tomorrow she'll present her lecture, Earth Patterns from Afar, A Challenging Perspective, 7 o'clock at the Business College Complex at MSU. WKAR's Peter Wharf reached Bondar by phone last week to talk about her upcoming event and when she first looked to the inspiration of the stars.
People probably don't believe that a little girl in the 1950s in the small city of Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, who traveled much of her young life camping in Sault, Michigan and beyond, would actually want to build rockets. And in those days, I think if I had access to explosives, I might have launched the rockets. But I was sort of relegated to an era of plastic model rockets and building my own and from pieces of cardboard, etc. I think the imagination was really fueled by the amount of time I spent out in the natural world and looking at the stars. I mean, there's a lot that one can do on a computer for sure. But I do feel very much that I was invigorated as a child with my imagination to be able to have the building blocks of information from books and from teachers and from my parents, and to be sort of unbridled in my imagination to look at the stars in the night sky over Lake Superior. It was to do that and to look at the moon through binoculars for the first time and all those kinds of things. And of course, I grew up at a time before Sputnik had even launched. It was at the very, very early days of satellites. So it was a time when you could even imagine the moon being made of green cheese if you wanted to, because nobody had been there to try to say, hey, that's not the way it is. So I think that those were very, very good times for me.
3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff. Liftoff of the Spatial Discovery and the first International Microgravity Laboratory.
In addition to your travels as a Discovery astronaut, as a space shuttle astronaut, you are a doctor of philosophy and neuroscience, a doctor of medicine. Take us to that transition, though, to the mid-80s and becoming, moving into astronaut training. How did you get there?
Houston is now controlling. Discovery and crew are rolling on course.
Roll program.
Roger, roll, Discovery.
I had never given up the dream of being in space, and as a Canadian, even though I spent a lot of my time in the States, I had never really, as a Canadian, it was never really something that people, and I don't mean just women, but people, boys, girls, men, women, could aspire to because there wasn't the position available. And I followed the space shuttle. I followed the space shuttle in the early days, and the first group of women astronauts that were recruited by NASA because of the space shuttle program. I mean, that was a huge turning point for my ability to be in space. And during all that time, I pursued my interest in scientific research, always keeping an eye out on space medicine. And when I finished my training in Boston and back in Toronto, I just kept on with the aviation connections. I kept reading about space travel. I kept reading about all these things that fired my imagination when I was younger. And I always believed, and still obviously to this day, that physicians, even if you have test pilots and you have engineers going in space, you'll always need doctors. So I just felt that it would be an ideal thing if it ever came to pass that there'd be an opportunity for me to fly. And it did. It did come to pass because Canada gave the NASA program the first Canadarm. And in return for that, we were offered some flights on the space shuttle. So that's really how it came to be.
This is Peter Whorf for Current State. I'm speaking with Dr. Roberta Bondar. She will be coming to Michigan State University as part of Geography Awareness Week, speaking on campus on November 18th at the Business College Complex, the lecture entitled Earth Patterns from Afar, A Challenging Perspective. You were trained on cameras as well all of your life, from shooting with a Brownie camera with your uncle to the 13 cameras that you were trained on for your space shuttle mission. And you said in a previous interview that your eye was fine-tuned, that your brain was fine-tuned through cameras. What did you mean by that?
Well, there were three aspects to that. First of all, I think you're quite right when you talked about early experiences before. The early experience of having cameras and not being afraid of them, and understanding that it's a way of preserving history and a way of communicating and sharing not just what one person sees with their own eyes, but also what one person really connects to emotionally. And so I had that all my life, and I used cameras in my master's and my PhD work, and also during medicine, obviously we used it for many types of documentation. In the space program, when it came time to be trained on the 13 different camera types for my flight, I also spent a lot of time training with the Earth observation people. I wanted to be able to recognize the Earth in any kind of configuration, because certainly down here we're biased with north, south, east, west on a map, but in space, I realized that the planet sort of moves obliquely underneath the orbiter, and I wanted to be able to recognize things upside down. So I spent a lot of time training my eye to coastlines and structures that would give me some indication about where we were flying over. And then the third piece was that my training in neurology after I received my undergraduate medical degree was specialized in the favor of neuro-ophthalmology, how we see and view the world around us. So I really had more of an insight when I flew in space about how the human brain really adapts to environments, but adapts to ways of looking at things so that one can share them differently. So the idea that the visual processing system of the brain was something that I knew fairly well really, I think, helps me in conveying some of the things that I want to convey about the natural environment through my photography and my photographic art.
Why do you think people should pursue geography as a career, students as a career, or people as a general interest?
Well, yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head with the general interest part, as well as the graduate and undergraduate programs offered, because it really is about, it's about the planet that we're on. And we are on a planet. We're not on a shelf. We are in something that is very complex. We have things that we need to look at to be able to make very good judgments about developing policies, regulations, to be able to look at how human impact has changed an environmental system. And these systems don't end with political borders. They have effect globally as well. The more we understand about our natural resources, the more we understand about how the planet forms and is still forming, it's not at the end of its life, then the more we're able to look at the wisdom of our actions, whether they're through government actions or whether they're through our own personal local actions, whether it's in terms of our environmental issues or the way we look at birds and wildlife and wetlands. I mean, there's a huge gamut to things. We could talk about the Great Lakes and look at the levels of the Great Lakes, or look at how shorelines are changing, or the wildlife around the shorelines or inside the water itself. There are many, many things that we need to understand better. And geography really provides us with a formalized way of trying to have those building blocks so we can really create a larger picture for us and see where we're headed on the planet.
The MSU Department of Geography will be hosting a talk by Dr. Roberta Bondar on the subject Earth Patterns from Afar, A Challenging Perspective, 7 o'clock on November 18th at the Business College Complex here at MSU. Dr. Roberta Bondar, thanks very much for being with us today on Current State.
Thank you very much.
For Current State, this is Peter Whorf.
7. We have a go for main engine start. We have 3 main engines up and running. 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff. Liftoff of the spaceship.